Languages continue to disappear around the world, with experts saying one vanishes almost every 10 days. A number of those are indigenous North American languages. A recently released study indicates there could be a new way to preserve a language, and it's similar to how researchers explore how to save certain species. Those researchers are ranking endangered languages as applied via an acronym called EDGE, which combines evolutionary distinctiveness with global endangerment. Nicholas Perot is co-author of the study, Tongues on the Edge, Language Preservation Priorities Based on Threat and Lexical Distinctiveness. He's currently a grad student at Oxford, and he's with me via Skype. So, Nick, how stark a situation is this right now, with languages becoming endangered and extinct?
Right, so it's a good question. Actually, in species conservation, in the history of the world, there are five great extinction events, one of which took down the dinosaurs. And some biologists think today that we are in the midst of a sixth mass extinction event, that's for species. But it so turns out that languages would be as much, if not more, endangered than species. And people have, and there's a study in 1992 that projected that by the year 2100, half of the world's 7,000 languages would be extinct.
Half of them. Wow. Okay.
Half of them.
Before we reach the stage of extinction, does endangered have 1,000 people still speak it? One country still speaks it? Is there some definition for that?
So there are many ways of measuring whether a language is endangered or not, but a popular way, and that's one I like the most, although I'm not a specialist in language preservation itself, is how young are the youngest users? If the users are children, if they're 4 years or 4 years old, then the language, even if there are few people that speak it, 200, is not doing that poorly. If there's 10,000 speakers, but they're all grandparents, then the language is endangered. Because in 40 years, nobody will speak it.
Right, so if people who are the speakers of a language die off, then the language dies.
That's right, that's right. So one of the most important things, not just the size of the population, but, and this is what was used in the study, is how young the youngest speakers are. So that's really the best way, in my opinion, to measure how endangered a language is.
So let's talk about the acronym that's being used, which is the EDGE metric. Explain what that is and how that came together.
So the idea is that there are too many endangered languages to save them all. Maybe do you want me to tell you a word about why we want to save these languages? My grandfather is a businessman. He says it would be great if everyone in the world spoke the same thing. Why do we care about these? The idea is that there's a lot of information in these. For prehistorians, they're great. They allow you to study migrations of people that lived thousands of years ago. They're also great for preserving the cultures of these people. Because when a language goes extinct, part of the cultural identity of the people that spoke it go extinct as well. So that's why preserving language is important. Now, the EDGE metric, this is a way of making sure that although the resources to save languages are limited, we can do as best as we can to save the most of language diversity with what little funds we have. The idea of the EDGE is to combine how endangered a language is and how much it contributes to linguistic diversity, because languages don't contribute as much to linguistic diversity. You have some languages that are very similar to other languages, and so if that language goes extinct, that's a shame, but it's not as bad as if you have a very, very, very special language that has no close cousin. For that language to go extinct would be much worse than for one that has many siblings to go extinct.
So is there a process to some extent of language evolution similar to biological evolution then?
That's right. So in our study, we considered the Austronesian languages, which exist in Southeast Asia and in Papua New Guinea, and they go all the way to Madagascar and off the coast of Africa. So that's quite a large range. So these languages, a study that was done in 2009, has allowed studying how distinct they are from one another. They did this by looking at the vocabulary of these languages. They took 200 words, 200 basic words like hand, foot, that kind of thing, and they looked at them and see how they differ from one another. And from that, they built a tree that looks like a tree, like you said, like a tree for biological species. And from that, it's possible to determine how different a language is from the others in the tree.
If you can preserve, why not preserve? And figure out the ones that really have evolved. I think that's a really interesting approach to it. But does it take completely out of the equation the idea that endangered is endangered? It's not necessarily extinct.
Well, some of them are endangered precisely because, like I said, the youngest speakers are not children, and so it's only a matter of time before they go extinct. Whether that's a bad thing or not is something that can be discussed, but those that are endangered, it's not like a species where, well, if the population is small, then it can manage to survive anyway. These languages, when the children don't speak it, in 100 years, it won't be there anymore. There's no way around that. Now, if in a pragmatic sense, you could say, well, something we could do is to record these languages, take note down how their grammar works so that for future scholars, they'll be able to look down at these notes and figure out where this language came from, what it was, what its siblings were. But if we are interested in preserving the language because we want to preserve the culture of a people, then there's a lot of work to be done, and there's not enough energy nor the time to save them all.
Nicholas Perot is co-author of a recent study on preserving endangered languages and is a